all that equates to an avalanche of work for investment bankers. The industry staffing model, meanwhile, is ill-suited to spikes in demand. If the large banks aren't able to pay their best people well, they lose them all, explains one headhunter. The only way to do that and remain profitable is to be ruthless about headcount, running teams with very little fat in normal times. When business balloons, as it did in 2021, those lean teams very quickly end up working at full capacity, at which point the only options are to poach people from elsewhere or to turn down business. The result is a fierce zero-sum skirmish between banks for skilled staff. At the same time, the list of other firms offering bankers eye-watering salaries has lengthened. Private equity funds have long piggybacked off the training offered by the big investment banks, luring talent away with better pay and slightly gentler working hours. Banks in America are particularly vulnerable, with a supersized private investment industry offering just as supersized compensation. Blackstone, one of the biggest such firms, received 29,000 applicants for 100 junior-level jobs in 2021. In recent years, these have been joined by a growing cohort of dealmakers going it alone and taking firms public via special-purpose acquisition companies. M&A boutiques, which advise on mergers without the full-service offering of an investment bank, entice still more bankers away from banking. Third, there has indeed been a shift in workers' attitudes, just not one that results from them being unwilling to hack the hours of their predecessors. Florian Pollner of McKinsey, a consultancy, describes how in conversations with human resources bosses, a theme that comes up time and again is younger workers' more modular approach to their careers. Instead of looking for jobs for life, they seek out roles they can spend a few years in and then leave with broader options. That works in banks' favour for recruiting junior staff. Their graduate schemes are still seen as excellent preparation for a career. But it also puts pressure on attrition rates in an industry already known for the mercenary outlook of its employees. These forces are changing the way banks recruit and retain their staff. Many have long tried to draw employees from a more diverse pool. That task is now more urgent and goes beyond lines like race and gender. Mr. Pollner sees banks at all levels recruiting from a much broader range of universities than they used to and, just as important, trying to hire people with personalities different to the stereotype of the average banker. Retention efforts have a darker side too. An investment manager at a London private equity fund reports having hired juniors from two separate banks, only to have both receive letters from their former employers suggesting they might have to repay bonuses. In the end, they did not. The net result within investment banking is likely to be a widening gap between the largest and most profitable banks, chiefly American ones, and second-tier firms, including European banks. The latter have long had to pay more and take greater risk to compensate for not having the prestige and huge domestic market of the Wall Street giants. That has sometimes had dire consequences. Credit Suisse and Deutsche Bank have suffered such frequent losses from scandals and exposure to dubious clients that they have become the butt of industry jokes. As second-tier banks struggle to muster the financial firepower to recruit senior talent, that problem will only worsen. The fewer skilled staff they attract, the less deal flow they capture, and the faster their investment banks must shrink. In recent years, many European banks have been forced to flee Wall Street or close their racier outfits altogether. More of them may become casualties of the talent war raging at the cutting edge of capitalism.